Our readings this morning are firstly Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The second reading is Luke 14, 33 to 35. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Thanks be to God.
Well, last week we started to look at Jesus' teaching about, teaching them that they are the salt and the light of the world. And this is, of course, a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Last week we focused on the light part, Jesus teaching around that metaphor of putting a lamp on a stand rather than hiding it under something like a bowl. And from the Matthew passage, we saw how Jesus taught his followers that they are to display the character and love of Christ as they interact with people in their day-to-day lives. They were also to introduce people to Jesus, the source of their love. We also saw last week how Jesus used this metaphor at other times to explain that we are to make Jesus the center of our lives and of who we are. That we are to make Jesus an active part of our lives and the lives of our families and of those around us to the extent that we can. That we are to personally spend time with Jesus through reading the Bible, through prayer, and through other activities which help us to connect with him. That we are to allow Jesus to impact and transform who we are in the core of our being. That we are to think as deeply as we can about who he is and what Jesus has taught. And that we are to share with others who Jesus is and what we know about him. And today we will continue by looking at the other metaphor used in this passage by Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is a wonderful seasoning for food. And what more, it is plentiful. It is great for bringing out flavor in food and enhancing it, as well as its value in its ability to preserve food as well. So when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, Jesus is revealing that there is a role for his disciples as they listen to him that on that mount with him, and for us to play in society. And that role is to bring a little bit of the kingdom of heaven to the earth. Now, not all salt is created equal. Everyone knows that sea salt is the best tasting salt. That is, unless, of course, you're eating chips. And then it's chicken salt. But we are to be better than sea salt or chicken salt. We are to be heaven salt. This means we should be a source of love, of kindness, of compassion, of help for others, of encouragement, of hope, of joy, of peace. And to be these things in the lives of people who are not only the followers of Christ, but just people who are in our community, who are our neighbours. We should serve as God's vehicle to enhance what is good in our society. We should help to guide people in godly directions, to lead people into knowing and following God's will. And where society is rotten, defiantly do God's good work in the face of it. Maybe even draw attention to its rottenness. Maybe even stand against it. Or maybe stand up for those, or with those, who are trampled by our society's rottenness. We are to be the preservative. We are to preserve and to make better the lives of people in our communities. And I don't think Jesus' teaching about being salt of the earth and light of the world coming straight after the Beatitudes is a coincidence. These two teachings cap off the Beatitudes in Matthew's Gospel. Remember, in the Beatitudes, Jesus identified good traits which please God, traits which enhance the lives of people around us, and which shine the light of Christ into the world. And so what we see here with salt and with these salt and light metaphors is Jesus encouraging his disciples and us to keep on living out the Beatitudes as Christ enables us to. They are part of what it means to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, there are, of course, many ways which we can be salt. But whatever we do, we are to be heaven salt. That seasoning of heaven on the earth. Now, one thing to take notice of here is that Jesus doesn't ask or even command the disciples to be salt. He doesn't ask them or command them. Jesus doesn't say, you are to be the salt of the earth, although it is true that we are to be the salt of the earth. Rather, notice that Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. It's a matter of fact. And he does the same thing with the light of the world. Jesus doesn't ask or command his disciples who are listening to him to be the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. The very nature of being a true disciple of Jesus makes them the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And this makes sense. If you are a follower of Jesus, a genuine follower of Jesus, then you are salt of the earth because a follower of Jesus believes in the teachings of Jesus, reads and learns what the teachings of Jesus are, and then tries to put his teachings into practice. That is, by definition, what it means to be a disciple. And so if you are a true disciple of Jesus, a genuine follower of Jesus, then you are the salt of the earth. And this is more so true for us as Christians today than it was for those disciples as they listened to Jesus, teach. Because Jesus and the Father have made us salt by sending, by sending us their Holy Spirit to live in us and work in us. If you continue in your faith journey with Jesus, your terribly imperfect faith journey with Jesus, but if you continue on that journey, Jesus will make you more and more salty as the Holy Spirit works in you. So for us, we actually have an advantage even over the disciples as they listened to Jesus back then. Because we have the Holy Spirit today helping us to be like Jesus. So Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." But, there's often a but. "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by people." And this but section is actually the main point when Jesus uses the metaphor of salt and being the salt of the earth. There are two other times Jesus is recorded in our Gospels where Jesus uses this salt metaphor. Once in Luke 14, verse 34, which was our second reading this morning, and also Mark 9, verse 50. Now, each use of this metaphor is a separate occasion, but each time Jesus makes the same point. Now, we're not going to spend too much time here this morning because each of these passages are going to be subject to a more thorough investigation of Jesus' teachings later on in our series. But a brief overview. In Luke, Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out." And in Mark, Jesus says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other." In Luke, the greater context is in the teaching of people needing to count the cost before becoming a disciple of Jesus. Jesus demands that if we're going to be a genuine disciple, we must give him nothing short of our whole lives. In Mark, the greater context is about putting into practice and living out the teachings and morality of Jesus. In particular, not becoming a person who leads others into sin. So Jesus is using the metaphor of being salty to make the point to remain salty. And it's the remaining part which is the major focus each time Jesus uses this metaphor. So the main point Jesus is making about having a firm commitment to give up our lives to follow Jesus, about being willing to live in accordance with Jesus' teachings and morality. And so as we come back to the Matthew passage and we look carefully, we can see that Jesus' focus again is not on the doing of good things for people and for the community. But Jesus' focus is actually about you. It's about you who is the salt. It's about you who is the salt of the earth. It's about you who is the salt of the earth maintaining your saltiness and not losing your saltiness. When Jesus used this metaphor in the Gospels, this is the main point he is making. Jesus is asking you, therefore, are you salty? I made you to be salt, to be the salt of the earth. Are you still salty? Maintain your saltiness, is Jesus' encouragement to us. Jesus is encouraging his new disciples as they hear him teach this major teaching session for the first time. He's encouraged them to stick with their commitment to follow him. And if we think of the context of the disciples, we know that one of them, one of the 12 even, will lose his saltiness. But of course, 11 will maintain it. Jesus is also encouraging us with the same message. I have made you salty. But if you want to remain my heavenly salt, you have to continue to walk in faith with me. And this is because as sinful, fallen human beings, it is easy for us to lose our saltiness. And because it's so easy for us to lose our saltiness, we have to intentionally set our course for Jesus. In fact, Jesus says, you will only be useful to me if you make me the priority and the centerpiece of your life. You will only be useful to me if you make a commitment which is serious. You will only be useful to me if you are willing to align your life in accordance with my teachings and morality. It's a hard teaching. In order to continue being salt, which is salty, we must continue being a genuine follower of Jesus. If you maintain your saltiness by continuing to genuinely walk with Jesus, you will be useful to Jesus in building his kingdom. But if you lose your commitment to following Jesus, you will stop being useful to Jesus in the work of building his kingdom. Now, the two metaphors of being salt and light put together by Jesus here for a reason. They have a similar yet complementary meaning. Both reflect the work of Jesus to transform us into new creations through the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a completed work. You are salt. You are light. They also both reflect the responsibility Jesus has given to all his followers. We are Christ's hands and feet. We are his ambassadors in the world. We are to represent Jesus by being Christ-like in the world and in people's lives. Both reflect this reality. But in the salt teaching, Jesus is warning his disciples of the consequences of walking away from their commitment to him. They will lose their saltiness and not be of any use in building the kingdom of God. In the light teaching, Jesus is encouraging his disciples to live out his ways in his life, in their everyday lives, and to not hide it away, to let it shine for the world to see. Jesus has made you to be the place where heaven and earth come together. You are the place where heaven and earth are to meet. Just as Jesus was the place where heaven and earth met. Jesus wants you to be his heavenly salt and heavenly light on this earth. There are many good things we can do to be this salt and this light, but the way we maintain our saltiness is the same. It's through being committed to following Jesus, being committed to living out his teachings, and most importantly of all, being committed to our personal relationship with him. Stay salty. Amen.